guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz here with you from Cigar Federation. As always, in sunny California, we've got John, the Conscious Canadian, sitting in for Logan, who is, Logan's increasingly on assignment in an undisclosed location. Have you noticed?
I have, and quite honestly, I consider myself an upgrade. I mean, I'm not going to ask upgrade questions, but I consider my energy level an upgrade, because most of the time, you know, you don't know if you're going to get cranky Logan, you know, if you're going to get like on point, great question Logan. Never know what you're going to get.
That's true. That's true. With you, you're solid. You are a solid performer. I appreciate you sitting
in. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. Back from IPCPR. Everybody's kind of caught their breath and got some sleep. It's funny. I have my Fitbit that tracks my sleep, you know, and I look at the sleep that I had in Vegas. And it was like 3 hours, 4.5 hours. One night I got like 6, which was kind of weird. And then I got home. The day I come home was like 9.5, 8.5. Apparently, my body was trying to tell me something. But anyway, so today we've got kind of a special show. We're going to do a little bit of an IPCPR trade show recap, and we've got the creme de la creme of cigar media here with us. And I'm just going to go down the line and introduce everybody in the way that I see them on my screen. You guys might see them in a different order, but Ben from Stogie Review. Ben, thanks for taking the time, man.
Yeah, pleasure to be here, man. Appreciate it.
And all the SigFed members know you from the Pipe Dummy show that you – are you the host or the co-host of that? You're the co-host.
Co-host. Myself, Jared, and Logan, but Logan kind of is taking an absence, but which is a good thing.
That's one thing I think we can all agree on. Logan's not here, and it's not really the end of the world. But, Ben, thanks for hanging out. We've got Craig Vanderslice from Cigar Craig. Craig, thanks for hanging out, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
First time on a podcast, I understand.
Well, first time on with the video thing.
Oh, the video. Okay, so it's not the podcast.
I've been on a few shows here and there.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for hanging out. Appreciate it. And so Cigar Craig has been around for how long?
Started in 2009.
2009. Wow, you go way back, man.
Yep. Started writing on the internet in 1996, back in the old Usenet days.
They even have the internet back then?
Yeah, it was the Wild West. There weren't any cigar websites or anything like that. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
So yeah, I'm old. That's correct.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time. Ben, I didn't ask you, how long has Stogie Review been around?
We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary this year, exactly.
Oh, so you guys...
2006.
Before the predicate date, you guys can keep doing it.
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That's great. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to move down the line. We've got Delicia from Cigar Vixen. Delicia, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate it. And how was the show for you?
It was exhausting, but it was fun. It's always a good time.
Yeah, it is exhausting, I imagine. You get out to all the events and everything too. That was one thing that we got to do this year, which was new, was to get out to some of the events that kind of take place after the show. So that was nice. Although it felt like it was kind of a quiet year on the event front.
It kind of did. I think everybody's put their money elsewhere this year. So
yeah, right. all in those blends that we're going to hear about over the next, I don't know. Well, a lot of them we're not going to hear about. They're all going to come out in the next day or so, but we'll hear about more of them as the year goes on. And now it's cigarvixen.com, correct?
Correct. Yes.
And that's been around for how long?
4 years now.
Awesome. 4 years. That's, I think that's about as long as we've been doing Cigar Chat. Maybe 4.5, give or take. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us. And then we've got June from Developing Palettes, brand new website.
Yeah. We've been around for a whopping half a year.
You can still say it in weeks. It's like the age of a baby. You can say, well, my baby's like 17 weeks old.
Yeah.
So we're 28 weeks old.
That's good.
Awesome. But you've been around for longer than that. You've been doing the What Embargo show on Cigar Federation for a while as well.
Yeah, so I helped Seth with What Embargo talking about Cuban cigars. And, Big Tuna.
Awesome. Big Tuna. Awesome. Appreciate you hanging out. Local guy, you're right down the street from me.
Yeah, I could almost smell your cigar smoke from here.
Does it smell good? The aroma's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
We're going to get together and drink some beer here pretty soon. We've got Master Sensei from Cigar Dojo.
All right, Robbie, thanks for having me on the show, brother.
Thanks for coming on. You got to represent the number one cigar app in the world, right? Absolutely. Well,
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm excited to be back on the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, I think it was this time last year, I think, when we had you on. Or maybe it was the year of wrap-up show, something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
But no, appreciate you coming on. How long has Dojo been around?
So we've been around for about four years, a little over 4 years.
All right. And it's an app. But it's a website as well.
Yeah, it's, we review cigars and stuff, but then we have the social community, which is sort of our thing, and they, that community's growing pretty big, so that's pretty exciting, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us. And last, but definitely not least, Cigar Coop. Coop, always a pleasure, man.
Hey, yeah, sorry I had some technical issues. I didn't have the G-Unit team with me.
So, rookie stuff, man. You're bringing rookie stuff to the table.
Yeah. I feel very naked without them, so to speak.
Oh, that's not a part of our show here today.
Exactly.
So, and Cigar Coop has been around for a while now, right?
We will have the 6-year anniversary on August 15th.
Awesome. Is there a party? Is there a party for the 6-year anniversary?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Cuba.
Oh, so I'll be, Coop's bringing us all to Cuba for the 6-year
anniversary? I didn't say that, but I'm bringing myself to Coop. Cuba. Coop's going to be on autopilot with Paul kind of managing things while I'm gone, yeah.
Well, you better make sure. You got to post something. You gotta post every day.
Well, next week from today, we'll hit the 1,500 day mark, which we're really fortunate to hit. I mean,
that's awesome. Just,
yeah, so I'm very happy about that.
And I think everybody in the group, knowing what it takes to run a cigar blog, what it would take to get something posted up every day for 1,500 days in a row is pretty impressive. So kudos to you on that. That's
awesome.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much.
Awesome. So we're all fresh off of IPCPR 2016 in Las Vegas, Nevada, which was my fourth IPCPR. And, as we go through, let us know how many shows you guys have been to. I think for the most part, we're all around that number, I think, but some of you guys can do it more than I have. This was probably the strangest IPCPR I've ever been to. Day one for me felt like a funeral. It was very, very, just the vibe in the room, and John, you can attest to this. We're doing all these interviews, and I'm struggling to get some energy going in that room, man. It was brutal.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether I had to show up in a clown suit or, like, pop bottles of champagne or what was going on, but first day was a bit of a grind, and we turned it around on the second day because we had a bunch of interviews, and you could see it in the interviews, they amped you up big time with the positive energy, which we needed.
Yeah, day two was different. It felt like there was more people there. Maybe everybody was hungover on day one. Maybe that's what it was. I'm not really sure. I wasn't. Was it day three that I had the rough morning, or was it day two? I don't know.
Yeah, it was day three that we encountered something.
I blame the Canadians. For a couple of drinks. I blame the Canadians. That's
what it is.
They'll
take you down every time. You can't mess around with the Canadians. They know how to drink.
Absolutely. That is for sure. So we've got a ton of audience questions. I'm going to try to get through here as quickly as we can. And since we've got so many people in the group, I'm going to get pretty specific with who I ask these questions to. And I'm going to throw this one. I'm going to throw this one out to Coop here. Sort of all the interviews that you do, which one do you look forward to the most? Now, I know you don't necessarily do interviews in the sense that in the way that we do. I mean, we do a lot of video interviews, and everybody does their own thing. And you kind of go and do more of like a booth write up, and you also do some interviews. But who are you most looking forward to every year to talking to, or maybe this year specifically?
It was 2 years in a row. It was Hans Christian Hosgaard, the CEO of Davidoff, which I got the opportunity to talk to him last year. And I said, let me ask again this year if they'll let me talk to him. And I guess it was okay last year. The reason why Hans Christian is so fascinating to me is, no, he's not a tobacco guy. But he understands the cigar business on a global scale, which is something of very big interest to me. So you're right. I don't do the interviews. I don't know how all you guys do the interviews. I tried doing it 1 year, and it was a disaster, is what I'll just say. So I have a lot of respect. It's hard work. It's just, we have other avenues, I guess, to bring the personalities on. And I think everyone on this call who does the video, you know, I know Ben and Brian have been doing it for years. You guys, Craig, and I'm Delicia, you guys capture the vibe of the show real well. That's something, you know, that I think is real special. Everyone brings to the table who does that.
Awesome. Thank you for the compliment there. Yeah, it's and it's funny because I look at what you do and I think, man, how can I write all that?
Well, you know what's funny, Rob? I really think in the last couple of years, the written word of the show is falling by the wayside. And we don't
That's a great point. And it might be – maybe I'm onto something with that. It's for me, and I think for us – and I'm sorry, I'll cut you off. I'll come right back to you.
No,
that's fine. It's, I think it's easier for us to capture all that on video and share it that way. That's the way – that's to me, that's the path of least resistance, of getting the most information possible and sharing it in a way that, I mean, interviews are interviews, but we try to make ours a little bit unique, and I feel like some of them, as I go back and watch some of our interviews, the guys that I'm more comfortable with, the guys and gals I'm more comfortable with, I think those interviews get a little bit more unique than the folks you can tell I'm interviewing for the first time, where it's very, very, you know, kind of straightforward. But the guys that I'm joking with, I feel like we get a little bit right. A little bit more out of that. But what were you going to say about the written word?
No, I mean, like you know, capturing that vibe of the show is just real special. I mean, folks aren't at IPCPR. You watch those videos, you're going to get a real – of all the people who do the videos on this call, you're going to get a real good feel for that show.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're trying to get the dorky, geeky type of stuff is what we're seeking more.
In-depth,
yes. And then we use Stogie Geeks to do the interviews. It's just works better for us.
Awesome. I know we got our first break here. We spent all of our time introducing everybody. I just want to remind everybody you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Today we're talking about IPCPR recap because it was a very interesting show, and the next two segments are going to be much more in-depth than what we got to at the beginning. John, this next segment's brought to us by who?
Well, Rob, I think this first segment is brought to us by Fratello, introducing Fratello Cigars' latest blend, the Bianco Boxer. Joining forces with one of our best-selling sizes, the Fratello Boxer, you can ask for it at your local tobacconist. You should ignite your journey.
You are a pro. You are absolutely professional. Big step up from Logan reading the reads there. And the second half of this question, I'm going to throw it to Delicia here. Delicia, who do you think is the most interesting person in the cigar game today?
Oh, that's a tough one. There's quite a few, but I have to probably go with Nestor, you know, Nestor Miranda. He's a character. I enjoy seeing him every time. He always compliments my shoes. You know, he's such a – he's awesome. It's so entertaining to go into their booth. They're so much fun, you know, that whole family. But Nestor's definitely one of the people that I enjoy, you know, seeing and talking to.
Nestor is a lot of fun. We didn't get an interview with him this year. Last year we did an interview and I walked up to him, I introduced myself and I explained to him what we were going to do. And he said, oh, okay. And he took the microphone from me and just did the interview by himself.
Oh yeah. He's a ham.
So he's like, yeah, I don't need you. You can just go away. I got it. I got it under control. Not my first time.
He's hilarious. He loves the camera for sure.
Yeah. He was all about it. So I think we're all smoking something, that's either on the market or about to hit the market. I am smoking the new release from Hoyo. I believe it's La Amistad, I believe is the name. This is blended by AJ Fernandez. They kind of listed as a bit of a powerhouse, and it's got a lot of pepper to it. The strength hasn't really kicked in quite yet, but it's got a nice little bit of flavor. I'll start here with Ben. What are you smoking tonight? I know you had some high-end stuff to choose from.
Yeah, there's a lot that I didn't get to smoke a whole lot during the show because I'm usually the one behind the camera. Mm-hmm. So when I'm smoking, it actually looks like a fog coming up. So I saved a lot of what I had to bring back home. And one I was most interested to try, one of them, was the Mi Querida from Dumbarton Tobacco, one of Steve Saka's newest one. His broadleaf creation. This I don't know much about the blend. It's just Nicaraguan binder filler with a broadleaf wrapper on it. And it's pretty tasty. I'm enjoying it so far. It's my first one.
That was one of the few new releases I was able to smoke on the floor, just like you. I'm in front of the camera most of the time, so any cigar, I'm lighting it 7 or 8 times. It's not even worth the trouble.
Right.
I did get to smoke that on the floor, and I posted my review actually on Monday because I smoked a couple more once I got home. Fantastic cigar. Really, really liked that one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And it's an approachable price point, too.
Yeah, I think it's only like $10 is the MSRP on these.
I think they're all like 10 or below, yeah.
Yeah, like $9.95 or something like that.
Depending on the ring gauge. Well, and your local taxes, but yeah.
Right.
And speaking of approachable price range, John, what are you smoking?
Yeah, I don't think approachable price range applies to the cigar I'm smoking, but thanks very much to Davidoff for these samples. I'm smoking the Yamasa, which I had to repeat that word over and over and over again since the show because I keep wanting to call it the Yamasa, but it's not the Yamasa. It's the Yamasa, and I am smoking it in the Bellicoso, and man, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah, Coop's giving you the thumbs up. We actually at the Davidoff event were able to get our hands and smoke that one. I thought that was great. Coop, you like that one too, yeah?
Yeah, that Bellicoso I thought was the best of the four sizes.
Coop gets everything before everybody else. I mean, that's just – we go to the show and it's all, this is new. Coop, like, I smoked that 2 months ago. But you're not smoking right now, right? You're inside. Oh, you are. What do you have?
I have the Casa Magna Jalapa Claro, which was the IPCPR exclusive cigar. They did only for folks who attended IPCPR. They're putting a different wrapper on the Casa Magna. They're putting a Claro wrapper, so it's taming down the blend a bit. It may have a little bit of youth on this cigar right now, but overall, I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It's cool young still.
That's Coop being very diplomatic. I like that. Now, I'm looking down the list here. Sensei doesn't look like you. Oh, you are smoking. I couldn't see.
At the. I'm smoking this new AJ stick. It's Bellis Artes, or I don't know how you say that. I don't know anything about this cigar, but I can tell you that it's friggin' awesome.
That's, you know, it's funny, man. Logan, I think, because Logan runs a store, so he gets some samples early. And he smoked it, and he said that was probably one of the best things that he'd smoked to the show. And I've heard great things.
It's so good. You know what's crazy about this one is it's hard to even describe the flavor of it, and I think that's a good thing. It's just so interesting and good that, like right now, Jordan's working on the review, so we'll have a review posted soon, and he's better at picking out flavors than me, but it's just packed with flavor, and it's amazing. So anybody get a chance to get this one? Is this available yet? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's starting to hit the stores now.
Yeah, it's a great cigar.
Awesome. Hey, I'm going to throw the next question at you. This is another question. This is another question from On. He says, what new and quote-unquote unknown guy will explode after the show this year? So a few years ago, it was Warped Cigars. So who is the Warped of this year?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, obviously this guy already kind of blew up, but it seemed like the most buzz this year was around Caldwell. So, I mean, I don't know if he qualifies. But that booth was really, really hopping, so it'd be hard not to say that maybe he's having one of those years, you know, that's a really good year. So, I mean, you know, and he had Tony Bellotto there. He brought him his line in. So that whole thing had a really cool vibe, and I don't know if you saw, but we reviewed the All Out Kings, and that was a great stick. I mean, it was so mellow and caramely and really different for a stick like that. I mean, it has like the same wrapper as the T52, but a totally different flavor profile other than that.
Interesting.
And we loved that one a lot. I don't know if you guys have smoked yours yet, but that's an excellent stick. So I don't know. I'd probably say Robert. You know, it was kind of sad. Like Warped was there, but the seemed like the buzz might have been gone a little bit from Kyle. Maybe it was because he was like right in the middle of a bunch of other booths or something.
Yeah, they seem to have a funky spot.
Yeah,
it was a terrible layout with where he was. I mean, it was hard to distinguish one brand from the other.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. There was a lot of buzz around the RomaCraft booth. Those guys seem to have a lot going on. Obviously, there's always stuff going on the Espinosa booth, but they were off to the right, and I think that hurt him too. It seemed like all the booths that were getting the most action were sort of on the left-hand side, or actually when the right-hand side when you'd walk in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seemed like all the retailers came in and they barely navigated to the other side, you know what I'm saying? So it seemed that way to me, but I don't know, maybe I'm just...
No, that's a good call with Caldwell, because that booth, we walked by a few times to try to talk with Robert. I know we did speak with Tony Bellotto at one point and got an interview with him. We tried to talk with Robert a few times, and it was always crazy. All Out Kings, definitely looking forward to that one. We have our review coming next Monday.
Cool. How did you guys get that? You guys got that cigar?
Yeah.
Hey, Coop, we know people,
man. Cool kids. I must not be one of the cool kids.
We know some people.
Yeah, you got to hang out with us more often. I'm telling you. So I'm going to throw that same question. I'll throw that to Craig. Craig, you've been quiet so far. First of all, what are you smoking?
I went a little different route. I went with Sam Lacia's New Desnudo.
Oh, how is that?
It's awesome. It's got a Brazilian wrapper. It's got a little Pennsylvania Ligero in it. It's a delicious cigar. Not at the show. He wasn't at the show. He's selling direct, so it really wasn't any sense for him to go to the show since he wasn't selling it to retailers. But it's new, and it's delicious. Delicious cigar. He's done a real good job with it.
Your headset is silky smooth, brother. I need to get one of those.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you sound good.
I'll talk.
Who do you think is kind of the company that's going to have the breakout year?
Wow. That's a hard question. I really couldn't answer.
Oh, come on. You had plenty of time. A couple that I'll throw out, and I'll, you guys can chime in as you like. The Fable Cigars, I really like their first release, Fourth Prime, and they were nicely positioned in that Nika Sueño booth with Romacraft. I think they got a little extra traffic there. I know they did pretty well. And I'll echo what Sensei was saying about some of the La Zona guys. The Protocol, man, that Protocol Lancero is so damn good.
I heard it pairs well with the Ronza Kappa 23.
That's what I heard too. It's going to be hard for something to beat that as Cigar of the Year for me. So those are a couple of companies that I like. Hey, Ben, what about you?
Oh, I was just trying to think of that too. I mean, like Sensei said, like Roma Crown, we visited them on the last hour, basically the show, and that booth was still packed out. But they're not really a newcomer. I mean, they've been exploding for a while now, so I don't really count them. Like you said, the Caldwell booth was rocking the entire time. So, honestly, I don't know if there was anybody that's going to be a super breakout to me this year. I mean, like the show seemed a little flat to me. So there was nothing really that I thought that was like, oh my God, that is going to be awesome, you know?
It's tough too with the climate in the industry. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Out with something new. One of the companies that was brand spanking new. They came out a little bit before the show, but Cornelius and Anthony.
It seemed like
their booth was doing. I haven't smoked anything from them yet, but
yeah, they're doing good here in Houston. We actually had an event at the Smoke Ring here. And it was very, very well received. People were loving it.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't able to go by their booth because we got so backed up. But there was some buzz on that one around the show. People talking about them. So that would be a good one there.
Yeah, I did visit their booth, and I really enjoyed their stuff, Cornelius, especially that Cornelius. It's really good cigar out of Titan de Bronze.
Very good.
That's what I've heard. I haven't got around to smoking it yet. Hopefully, I'll do that soon. Anybody else?
Delicious.
Anybody else that we missed?
I'll give you one. JRE Tobacco.
Oh yeah.
So that's Christian Arroyo's brother. They were part of Christian's booth, and who's a great guy, by the way. If you haven't talked to him, the cigar is more of a throwback cigar. As father's making the cigar, but there was so much activity in that booth, and in particular with JRE, I think we'll start to see the effects of that after the trade show.
There was another company in there. It was CLE, and then there was
Purisol.
Patoro. Yeah, I really just like the look. I really like the bands of those cigars. They're very simple. Just said Patoro and had a little star underneath it. That was it.
Yeah, and they're delicious too.
Yeah, good cigars.
Oh, good cigars. Yeah, well, that's good.
Very
cool. So that's a lot of stuff to look out for. Let's see, and I'll just throw this out to the group, whoever wants to chime in first, but speak in an orderly fashion if you can. What are some of the differences between a Las Vegas show and a New Orleans show?
The heat. It's like being inside the corona of the sun. It is so hot. Now, but I'm used to New Orleans heat and humidity because I'm from the area, but oh my God, Las Vegas.
So you think Vegas was hot? Well, I mean, it does read as hotter, right? Because it was 113 or whatever crazy number it was.
Yeah, man, but it's a dry heat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The humidity last year was awful, and the smell. And then also I didn't care for walking around in the smell that hits you a little bit. But also just after the show, you know, how everybody kind of congregates. So even if there's somebody that you miss, you usually catch up with them at the end. And that's the part I like about Vegas versus New Orleans. Everybody was so scattered.
Yeah, in Vegas there is, for those of you who have never been, the show is takes place at the Sands Expo Center, which is between the Palazzo and the Venetian. And where those two hotels come together, there's this bar that is not called the Circle Bar, but everybody calls it that.
Oh, I thought that was the name.
No, it's like the Champagne
Laguna
Bar.
The Laguna Bar.
Oh, yeah. It's Laguna Champagne Bar, right?
Yep.
But I didn't notice that they had an excess of champagne, but I think it's because of the lights. It's supposed to be shaped like a champagne bottle or some nonsense. I don't know. But that's the total congregating point, like where all the cool kids hang out after school. That's exactly what it is. And there was no place like that in New Orleans. There's nowhere to smoke in New Orleans, at least inside. You have to go outside in 90-degree heat. And it was 92, 93, but 98% humidity, just something stupid like that. That was the big difference for me. And Vegas is actually cheaper.
Yeah.
Cheaper? You think it's cheaper?
Well, wait a second. Let me clarify. It's cheap. Hotels are cheaper.
Yeah, I got a couple things to say about how cheaper it is.
Well, I don't know because I just drive over when I live. I would just drive. I thought we'd get a hotel room. Yeah, so
they were pricey, those hotels in New Orleans, for what you got, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing really super close. We stayed, and I thought our hotel was pretty reasonable. I can't remember what it was called, but it was down the street. But you have to take an Uber to get there. This year, our den mother, John, he put us in a really nice spot. Our walk was like 8 minutes, and we only had to spend like 28 seconds in the sun tops. Like, we just walk across the street in the sun, and by you get to the other side of the street, the soles on your shoes start to feel kind of squishy because they're melting into the ground. It was brutal.
Canadians are like vampires. If we spend any more than that in the sun, we'll just catch fire.
No. Yeah. No, you look nice and tan.
No, you know, the biggest problem with the New Orleans show is everybody thinks they've got to go to Bourbon Street or the French Quarter.
Speaking of smells.
So, you don't go there. No, that's not where you want to go. There's so many, right beside there is the Garden District and, you know, Magazine Street that is so much cooler, more eclectic kind of stuff there, this place to go hang out, than Bourbon Street, which smells like, you know, vomit and urine most of the time.
But yeah, the Bourbon Street is brutal. I remember back to the interview that we did with Pete last year. It was on the last day of the show, and I had mentioned that my wife was coming in to spend a few days with me in New Orleans, and he's like, "Oh, so you don't go to Bourbon Street or whatever." And I said, "Oh, she's going to want to see it." And he's like, "Well, are you going to explain the smell to her before you go?" I mean, we all went to college, so we all know that smell. But it's the whole thing just smells like a college bar. Reminder to the audience.
The biggest thing is Las Vegas.
Yep.
I was going to say Las Vegas, what I did like about it was so easy to get to everywhere. You can pretty much walk to all the different places you want, where in New Orleans you kind of can. But you really got to know the city a lot more than you do Vegas.
That's true.
You can't even walk to the convention center in New Orleans. It was so long. It was literally a mile long.
Yeah.
By the end of the show, we were like Ubering just from the convention to our hotel.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. I think one of our drivers said that is the longest. The corridor outside is the longest hallway in the world.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Quick reminder to the audience, you're listening to the Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. We are here with a bunch of different cigar media outlets, and we're talking about IPCPR. John, this next segment is brought to us by...
This next segment is brought to you by Drew Estate. Download the Drew Estate Diplomat app today. If you haven't downloaded the app, what are you doing with your life? And when you're done with that, download the Dojo app too.
Well done. You know, what was awkward is when we had Sam on to talk about the Diplomat app, and I hadn't even downloaded it yet. I downloaded it during the show. I tried to pretend like I did that, you know, just to show people how easy it was. No, I just didn't have it yet.
Great show prep, Robbie.
Yeah, no, no. Professional, man. 100% professional. Okay, let's see. So this is kind of a little different question, and maybe we'll spend a few seconds on this. Jared Grillett wants to know if there were any particularly cool new accessories that you guys saw. Anybody jump in?
Yeah, the Zycar O-Cutter. That thing was pretty cool.
But what makes it special?
I kind of like it. It fits so comfortably in your palm, and it's so easy to maneuver just one-handed.
Yeah.
But it does weigh. It feels like it weighs a ton. So I don't know about holding it. Yeah, it's substantial, and the price point's pretty hefty on it. It's like $120.
Really?
Yeah, $100 to $100. It's $100 and $120. Like there's a blue one that has black coated blades. It's $120, and the other ones are like $100 to $110. That's pricey to me. You know, I mean, for what it is.
There was one cutter. And, like, I might actually – I don't really buy cutters because, I mean, there's cutters everywhere. I might actually go out and buy this one. It was the Zycar. It was, like, the salted Malta whatever wood with black blade.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was sexy.
That looked awesome, yeah.
Yeah, that was probably the coolest thing. And they had – Zycar also had – we did a quick interview with them. They had a travel humidor, but it had space for all the other crap in it. So you could put, like, a big lighter, you could put your phone or whatever in it. I thought that was kind of cool, but I mean, other than that, I mean, accessories are accessories, right?
Yeah, they just make your life easier.
Yeah. You're gonna stop by SD DuPont's booth.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, those aren't accessories. Those are like down payments for a house.
Well, yeah,
it's a lifestyle choice.
It's a lifestyle choice. No, I would no, please. I mean, forget it. I'm joking. I would love to have an SD DuPont lighter, but
that's I'm all not, I use now, honestly.
Oh, I love this man. Thing. Yeah.
Oh, jeez, I wish I was as cool as you guys.
We got one at the Davidoff dinner this year.
That's right. We sure did.
Yeah, they're great.
They went away to Davidoff dinner.
Hey, John, there's an eject button here. I can get rid of these guys.
Yeah,
right?
I think our invite got lost in the mail or something.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, my all out kings.
No, one thing I will say, talking about Davidoff, this was the first year that we had a relationship with Davidoff as far as you know, being invited to things and everything. And their media group that they had and their event, their release event for the Yamasa. Top notch. I mean, it's a class act all the way, and you would expect that from Davidoff, but they did a really nice job with it. And that the Yamasa is a fantastic cigar. One of the two new releases I was able to smoke at the show.
Yamasa.
Did I say it? I say it wrong every time.
Yeah,
I say Yamasa.
You just got to repeat it to yourself 20 times a day until it sinks in.
Yamasa. I should just look where the accent is. I could do that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite of the show, honestly.
Yeah, that was that was a real nice cigar. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, besides that, only other really cool stuff. I mean, I saw the cigar locker from kind of with rubber, you know, and then, but really other than that, I mean, not much. Yeah. You got the cigar press proof that has all those cool stickers they put out every year. They had the Techno Viking sticker this year, but that's about it.
We're talking about stickers.
That's it.
So we'll move forward. Okay, this question is going to go to the entire group, so prepare yourselves. Everybody gets this question because this is a very basic question. I feel like we all need to answer it. What cigars are you guys most excited about? I'm going to paraphrase. What cigars are you guys most excited about to try to smoke, maybe something that you have smoked, maybe something that surprised you? And I'm just going to go down the line. I'm going to start with Ben.
Probably the stuff from Foundation, like the Charter Oak and the Tabernacle. That's probably the one. I haven't tried those yet, but that's the ones I'm most excited. I hadn't. And General Cigars put out several things this year that were really interesting. One that I did smoke there, I enjoyed, was the new La Gloria Ciriar. It's the Black Maduro. It's it's really, really tasty.
Oh, nice.
That was pretty good. But the Foundation and the Avo Fogata, which I hadn't tried until I got there, and I was pretty impressed with that because, you know, the last year there, the Synchro Nicaragua was my cigar of the year. And this is kind of like a little bit lighter version of that cigar, and it was pretty tasty. And,
nice.
Warp's coming out with two new ones that were really good. I forgot their names off the top of my head. But
Maestro del Tiempo.
Yeah, that was one. I smoked that there. It was very, very good.
And someone else can fill me in on the second one, which has the Connecticut wrapper on it.
Yeah, that one I didn't have yet.
Via Sombra, something like that?
Yeah, something like close. That. Yeah.
Look at that. They say I don't pay attention. I was all over that. Hey, that's a good segue, though. We have Nick Melillo coming on Cigar Chat next week, and we can talk about the Tabernacle and Charter Oak, right?
Yeah, Charter Oak and the Tabernacle and the Upsetters.
And the Upsetters. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. Hey, John, what about you?
I wasn't expecting you to be next. I'm going to go in a different direction because, you know, I was excited for all of Nick's stuff. I was excited for Steve Saka's stuff.
You're not going to take the low-hanging fruit like Ben
I'm not
did.
Taking the low-hanging fruit. I'm excited to smoke the entire portfolio of Recluse because I got introduced to Recluse randomly when I was on Coop's show as a guest, and we had Scott Weeks on, and I got to smoke the Amadeus. It was I'm embarrassed to say it was the first time I had smoked it, and it blew me away. And Scott was generous enough to give us some samples of his line. And I'll be honest, that's probably one of the ones that's at the top of my list. Obviously, I want to sit down with that Protocol Lancero because I think it might have unraveled my DNA at the show. So I want to give it its full due. But the Recluse stuff's probably at the top of my list.
That Draconian too, man. I forgot how good that cigar was. That thing's a thing of beauty, man. Right in my wheelhouse. Great cigar from Recluse. So yeah, that's good. Okay, Craig, what about you? The cigar that you're most cigars that you're most looking forward to.
I had occasion to smoke the Maya Selva Florida Selva Box Press Maduro. That was the best cigar I smoked all week.
The Grand Presse.
Is that what it is? The Grand Presse.
That's what that's called. That's
fantastic cigar. I probably worked on that for 4 hours during the course of the show because it kept going out. And
I think I ran into you while you were smoking that.
Probably, yeah. That was a fantastic cigar. Probably ran into me 3 times while I was smoking it.
Now, have you smoked the Florida Selva Maduro before?
No, I haven't. That was actually my first experience with the brand altogether.
Now, the Florida Selva Maduro was my cigar of the year 2014.
Is that right?
It was the year it came out, I think.
I had it in the top 10 last year.
Yeah,
I'll fantastic keep an eye
one. On. Yeah, I'm curious to see how that's good. That's a good one to bring up. Delicia, what about you? Same question.
Well, there's definitely a lot. The Hoya Black caught my attention. I'm a huge fan of their line. I love the red, so the black was like, you know, finally something a little bit stronger that still had those really good flavors. That one was excellent. Of course, I smoked it. You know, it goes at the show. You're smoking so much that.
Yeah.
So that one I'm very excited about. And also the Catelli, that new one that they kind of, it was like a pre-release at Volksade. That one was incredibly good. It was like not even ready, I don't think, but even it being so fresh, it was just like the flavors were incredible. The construction was good. I'm super excited to see that one do well. Obviously Nick's stuff is always exciting.
Yeah.
There's quite a few, but you know, those were probably the two that really caught my attention. The Avo also, that Avo, it's funny that he mentioned it because I smoked it for the first time at the show and I made the mistake of lighting it up as I was walking to another booth to do an interview. So I had to set it down. That thing got hit by somebody and started like literally got smashed. And I it was so good that after I left, I was like, I'm going to relight it. It was all messed up. And when I relit it, it actually self-corrected and still smoked like a champ. I mean, it was incredible. It was such a wonderful cigar. So
I almost smoked that tonight for the show. Almost. But it's when you say Hoya Black, it's hard not to like Juan. He's a really good dude.
Their whole team's incredible.
Yeah.
We're on point every time.
He's the kind of guy that when there's thousands of people at the show, right? There's hundreds of booths, thousands of people at the show. Every time Juan walked by me or I walked by him, he would grab me and say hi or go out of his way just to say, hey, how's everything going? You guys need anything? Whatever. Really class act dude.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Definitely. Hey, June, what about you, man?
Probably most excited to smoke Dion's Illusioni Hope 10. That's his 10th anniversary release. And in general, everything that I'm a little bit of an Agonorsa fanboy. So most of Agonorsa stuff that comes out, I typically dig it. So in that same line, HVC, the La Rosa 520 as well. And then another thing. So there's this. So when we were going through the what are we smoking for the show thing, so as when I was out there, sorry for cutting out, I was smoking a future IPCPR release. It's called a Partagas Serie P No. 2. Yeah, so it's a Cuban cigar. So, anyways,
yeah,
didn't get that joke. Never mind. I need Seth here.
I got your joke. I appreciate it.
I didn't get it. I just went with, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's a 64 ring gauge.
It's a 64 ring gauge.
He says, "I hope it's a 64."
Oh,
continuing on your joke that I didn't get.
No.
All right.
No.
Okay. I don't get half of the jokes that June makes, so you know. Hey.
It's I don't know, man. He's into some weird stuff.
I am.
Yeah. No, but he's big though. Did you notice? He's been working out. I wouldn't mess with him.
No, it's American beef, I tell you.
Steroids.
Yeah. Not yet. That's on phase two.
Just throwing them weights around. No, that's good. You bring up Illusione. We didn't get a chance to stop by and chat with Dion. One thing that I will say, and maybe this is, I probably shouldn't say it, maybe I won't, but whatever, I will. I don't know if you guys make appointments for interviews, or if you just kind of go do your thing and just kind of walk up to people when they're free or whatever. We made more appointments this year, I think, than ever in the past, and it wasn't really by choice. It was, you know, folks reaching out and wanting to make appointments with us, and not like we're cool, but just scheduling things. And that really jacked up our day, man.
Yeah.
Because my definition of an appointment and their definition of an appointment are very different. I'm talking about when there's an appointment at 11, let's talk at 11, and we'll be done by 11, 10, 11, 15, and we can go on. Not like I get there at 11 and I wait till 11:45.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yep. That's there was
a problem. That was a big problem for me this year, too.
And I get it. And everybody's there to do their job. I understand that. But if it's going to be, you know, 20 minutes, just tell me. I'll go and I'll come back. Anyway, that's a whole separate topic. Sensei, what are you excited about?
Well, you know, what was interesting is, like, the whole first day, I smoked so many cigars, and I swear I didn't like any of them. I mean, I could just tell. I could just tell my palate was just shot or whatever. Maybe it was just, you know, everything going on. We got there early on Friday, and we were kind of partying the whole time. And then on Tuesday morning, and this might sound self-serving, but it's the honest to God truth. We sat down in the Moya Rua's booth, and I smoked the Dim Mock.
Oh, my goodness.
That one just cut through my palate, and I loved it. I mean, I know people are probably going to say, oh, yeah, that's because it's kind of, you know, your guys' cigar or whatever. But in all fairness to those guys, it was a really, really good cigar, and it jolted me out of – it jolted me out of the doldrums, and I was excited about that because I had never smoked it until that morning. So it was really good, and that'd be the one that I think is – people are going to like it. I really do.
Now, you guys have a pre-sale for that, correct?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And how can people do that?
So tomorrow at noon Eastern, we'll send out a mass email that has the link in it, and there's 300 boxes available for this sort of like early sale, and it's at JR Cigars, and so there's, you know, there are coupon codes floating around, so you can get a pretty good deal on it. And then it starts hitting shelves just after that. So, it's sort of like the third, you know, it was the Nunchuck and the Chinese Finger Trap and then the Dim Mock. And those are cigars that we don't really, they're not dojo cigars per se, but they make them for the dojo community as sort of an appreciation for the support over the years. And so that one's tomorrow, and it'll probably be the last one. So,
I don't believe it.
Well, it'll be the last. It'll be the last.
I don't believe it. I'm telling you, we're gonna see more cigars next year. I'm not saying from them, but I don't believe what people say.
Well, there are definitely gonna be more dojo cigars. I can tell you that.
Oh, but we're getting a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, we announced one at our party. We did announce one of them.
Which one? Can you tell us again?
Yeah, I can tell you. Sarsaparilla 2.
Oh, that Sarsaparilla, man. That is one of the best cigars that La Zona's ever made. I still have two. And I said I think I did a review or at some point, I know I've said that before. That's one of the best cigars they've ever made. That's a fantastic blend. So kudos to you guys on that.
This year it's a different size, and so I think you're going to dig it.
Yeah, I'm in for two bundles, absolutely, because that's a really good cigar. And Coop backed you up on the Dim Mock. Coop, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I'll just say that Dim Mock, I just reviewed it today, and it's a home run. It really is, so I would agree.
It's a home run, that's what you say.
Yeah, it really is. It's strong. That's the back end of that cigar is going to kick your butt, but it's good.
Yeah, they don't mess around over La Zona. They come out with some serious stuff. Yeah. But beyond that, what else are you looking forward to?
So this is a cigar that when I went into the booth, there was a sign that said no samples.
Nice.
It's a cigar. I have no idea what the blend is. And it's a cigar. I have no idea when it will hit the stores and how many boxes it will be. But I looked at this cigar and I said, I got to smoke it. It's the Fuente Fuente Opus X 20 years.
Oh, well.
Okay. Well, you asked me what I want to smoke the most.
No, fair enough. I mean, I didn't know you were going to go with, like, well, yeah. What car are you looking forward to test driving? Well, Ferrari's coming out with a new one, so
you
I think I want
to. You have to understand who I work with, okay? I work with Paul, who is the biggest Fuente whore out there, right? So he's corrupted me.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
So the good news is I won't have to chase it down because I know he will.
Nice. That's always nice.
So even be, but, yeah, I mean, so that was definitely a cigar that was, you know, looking forward to. Now, the best cigar I had at the show was Caldwell's Signature.
Really?
Hands down, it was the front runner. Caldwell gave it to me on day one in the Laguna Bar. It was incredible, is what I could just say. He's using it's a cigar. I guess it was originally William Ventura's. He gave it to Caldwell. It's a legit cigar. It's kind of a variation of the Eastern Standard.
Okay.
It stood out above every cigar this week.
Awesome. All right. Listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're talking new releases. John, this final segment is brought to us by...
Well, Rob, this final segment is brought to us by Cigar Oasis, the leader and innovator in measuring and controlling humidity in the cigar industry. You can set it and forget it. Are your cigars safe? Protect them with Cigar Oasis products today.
Like, you can check the humidity on your phone. It's kind of ridiculous.
Absolutely, and you should.
You should, absolutely. So as far as stuff that I'm looking forward to... nobody said anything about Saka's stuff. I know that Ben's smoking it already. We reviewed the Mi Querida already, which is a great cigar. I'm really looking forward to the Sober Mesa, the short Churchill. That is Steve's kind of morning smoke now. That's a cigar that I haven't smoked yet. Really looking forward to smoking that. All Out Kings, I know that the Dojo has reviewed that already. I'm looking forward to smoking that one as well. Trying to think. Maya Selva is another one. What's that? What'd you say, Ben?
No, just in the short Churchill. I actually was smoking that while interviewing him, and I thought it was fabulous.
Yeah, he was.
That's another good one.
He wasn't shy about how well that cigar turned out. So that's definitely something I'm looking forward to. And this will probably be, let's see. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna throw this question to Master Sensei. Because this is kind of right in your backyard, and you said that the cigar that woke you up from the doldrums. Now, one of our camera guys had a really late night on night three, and it surprised everybody by kind of showing up a few minutes into day four, and he smoked the Warhead 3, and he was energized after that cigar. He's like, dude, that thing woke me up. Mm-hmm. So, Protocol Lancero versus Warhead 3 Lancero, who wins in a back alley fist fight?
Oh, well, you know, to be honest with you, I got the new Warhead Lancero, but I haven't smoked it yet.
Okay.
So I have smoked the Protocol Lancero, which was amazing. And
fantastic.
So because by default, since I haven't had the other one, I'd have to go with the Protocol Lancero, which was fantastic. When Fernando came out here to Colorado a while back, he was on the show live here in studio, and he brought us some of those. And, man, that was a great stick. It really was. Yeah, that, you know, that's one of the biggest examples of a cigar that is dramatically different. And I'm not saying that the regular Protocol wasn't good, because it was good. But it was dramatically better than the entire line. You know, and so sometimes it's, you know, people always say, oh, get the Churchill, it's the really good, you know, Sober Mesa or whatever. And you can kind of tell, yeah, it's kind of better. But with the Protocol, I mean, it's like another cigar. It's like a totally different cigar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could have called it something else if they wanted to. Like I said, I rated it a 95. It's one of the best cigars maybe that I've ever smoked. It's just, I can't lay it on thick enough. That cigar is phenomenal. It's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. All right, so we probably have – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Rob, when I went down at Lazona Palooza and they gave me – they told me they're doing a Lancero, and I said, are you guys, like, nuts? Was, like, what was going through my head. And then when I smoked that thing, that blend is something very special in that Lancero.
Absolutely, yes.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. For me, the two best cigars that I've smoked this year are both Lanceros. The Protocol Lancero and the Illusione H-Town Lancero for the guys down at Stogie's in Houston. Those are two of the best cigars I've smoked all year, and they're phenomenal. We've got about 6 minutes left, so I'm gonna have you guys kind of chime in on this. If anybody has an answer, feel free to throw it out. Jared Grillett wants to know, with the new releases, in the past there's been trends, you know, like everybody's coming out with a Connecticut or everybody's coming out with a San Andreas Maduro. Do you guys notice any trends this year as far as, you know, style of blends or Vitolas or anything like that? Anyone? Delicia, did you notice any trends?
Not offhand. It just seems like everybody was just trying to get stuff out is what I mean, I don't know if that's not really a trend, but
well, kind of, yeah.
That I got from overall from the whole show.
Yeah, it's a trend.
Trying to get it out there. So not necessarily specific blends that I noticed that were, like, last year seemed to be like the Connecticut thing. But yeah, this year I didn't notice that as much.
Anybody else, Craig? Did you notice anything?
Yeah, I heard AJ Fernandez's name come up a lot with various cooperations between companies. I thought that was a trend that I noticed. I also, packaging wise, I saw a trend in bright colors. There was a lot of bright colored bands, some of them maybe reminiscent of others that did it a couple years ago, but I saw a lot of bright colors.
Yeah, I'll echo the sentiment on AJ. I mean, I'm smoking the Hoyo that he did for General Cigars, and it's actually a pretty good cigar. They say it's kind of a powerhouse. I don't know if, I mean, maybe for guys who normally smoke lighter stuff, it would be. But I don't smoke a ton of really powerful cigars, but it's got a lot of nice flavor to it. One thing I noticed from a packaging standpoint, there's a lot of 10-count boxes, it seems, especially from smaller guys. They want to have it. That box purchase is a bit more approachable.
Right.
And I think another thing, and John, you might be able to echo on this, there's a lot of people who maybe in the past, you go into the booth and you say, hey, do you have time to do an interview? And they're like, oh, come back here, whatever. Everybody was very eager to talk was one thing that I noticed. Not really a trend in blends or anything like that, but everybody was eager to talk to us.
Yeah, I think at one point we actually had booths chasing us down, which, you know, is not like we're the big shots, but just as a hallmark that we've never, ever had guys leave their booth and sort of chase us down a hallway to say, hey, can you come do an interview? And honestly, I wish I had another 2 days to do interviews because we couldn't fit it in. And I feel really bad that we didn't get to some of the booths, but, I mean, it was just wall to wall in there.
Yeah, hey, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to add that, you know what, people always ask, like, you know, what are we going to notice, you know, with, and I don't want to mention it because nobody's mentioned it, but what are we going to notice after this FDA thing, you know? And we already saw it in this show, and that was the complete death of limited releases. I mean, there might have been three tops. But it's over. The limited releases, as far as all that goes, and special releases and all that sort of stuff, was over. It was history.
I don't agree with you.
Oh,
no? Let me tell you something.
We're closing on a high point.
I was told point blank by companies that they've already sold, okay, releases that have not been what I call showcased. So there's companies that told me they already submitted their 5-year, their 10-year anniversary blends, and they've sold some of them.
Right, I know that, Coop, but they weren't at the show. When you go to the show, was over.
Let me chime in real quick.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I think, and this maybe this will kind of lead into what we're talking about. We've only got a few minutes left. But I think one thing, and Sensei, I'm glad you brought that up, that the store exclusives are done. And they're now nationwide.
Bad time for Rob to freeze there. Go on.
Oh, did I freeze up? Oh, the store exclusives are done. So and store exclusives are now national releases.
Right.
That was another trend. And I think that kind of goes into what both of you guys are saying. The true limited edition of, hey, we're making you know, like the Mule Kick, for example. That's one thing that comes to my head from Crowned Heads.
Sure.
They did, you know, 500 boxes and that's it. That kind of thing is done. And there may be, like, right now there's a lot of specific store releases, but over the next year or so, those are all going to go nationwide. That's kind of the way that it makes sense to me.
And, like, here's the thing, though. They're dead because the stores don't want to buy anything like that. Why invest a bunch of money in inventory that you're probably not going to be able to sell for more than 2 years? So because of that, it was kind of sad in a way. And to me, that adds a whole lot of flavor and fire to the IPCPR when you have these kind of cool, interesting little releases. But now it was just everything was pretty much, for the most part, minus a couple things, like Dim Mock and stuff. But for the most part, it was all going to be, you know, line extensions and regular releases. And in my opinion, that was kind of sad.
Okay, fair enough.
I think that's a good point.
Coop, you got a follow-up? You look like you have a follow-up.
Yeah, so here's the thing. You got to understand there's a lot of stuff lying around factories right now, okay? And they have the 2 years from now is the date where I think you have to be very concerned. This stuff's going to have to get out of the factories between now and 2 years. There are stores there are companies that are willing to make deals with stores where you don't have to do the larger box orders like you used to. I firmly believe you're going to see releases that weren't announced at this show, whether they're regional, store exclusive, limited, into next year. I think next year you will see a lot of cigars at this trade show that you have not seen, but they've already been sold.
Absolutely.
And you got to think about who's buying this stuff, okay? You know, with all these SKUs going out there, you can guess who's buying a lot of this stuff, and it's going to be out there. I mean, Sensei, you said point blank you have some releases coming out later this year.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's you're not the only one. There's a lot of people. So I think in 2 years is when I'd be a lot more concerned after that two-year period expires, or as we get closer to that two-year period.
No, you're 100% right. I'm just saying as far as this show went, that stuff was non-existent for the most part.
Yeah, no, you guys both have valid points. We're down to our last minute, so I'm just going to do real quick. Let everybody know where they can find you guys. Ben, you are at StogieReview.com. John, you're at Cigar Federation. Nobody cares. Craig, you are CigarCraig.com, correct?
You got it.
And Delicia at CigarVixen.com?
Yes.
June is DevelopingPalettes.com.
Yep.
And Master Sensei is at CigarDojo.com and the Dojo app. Yes?
Yes.
And Coop, you are at cigar-coop.com.
And stogiegeeks.com.
And stogiegeeks.com. Awesome. Guys, thanks so much. I feel bad because we had a ton of info to get to, and we didn't get to all of it. We should do this show, like, every week. We could. It would be awesome. But anyway,
okay.
Guys, thanks. Ben's in. Guys, thanks so much for tuning into another Cigar Chat. Appreciate everybody out there in the armed forces. You guys are built to do something I'm not built to do, and I appreciate everything that you guys do for us, fighting for our freedoms around the world. I hope you were able to sit in and enjoy a cigar and listen to us for a little bit and have some downtime. We'll be back next week. We have Nick Melillo, so it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about the new releases from Foundation Cigars. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and you can find us on CigarFederation.com.
Go Navy.
And we're fucking back.
I didn't think I was going to get all that shit in like a minute.
That's good.
I'm kind of impressed.
That's like you proed it.
That's pro.
Like, boom, boom, boom.
I'm kind of impressed with myself.
Which, of course, we are still live. We are still broadcast live on YouTube and picked up on podcast. But now we're not governed by the FCC.
Yeah, so you can say shit, bitch, cock, balls, whatever you want. I don't recommend it, but anything you want to say is fine.
Spewing hormones?
I'm sorry?
The spewing hormones, what was that?
Yeah, it was spewing hormones spewing or whatever hormones. It was we talked about earlier. We did that actually.
Hashtag.
It was a more serious conversation. I made light of it because I get uncomfortable when things get serious. And humor is my defense mechanism, but you don't need to tell anybody about that. So the show is a little bit different. I was expecting to see a lot more releases than we really saw. And I know that I think Sensei and Coop kind of touched on that. We're going to see there's a lot of releases that have been released, and there's invoices, and there's all kinds of stuff to prove that they've been around.
Yeah.
But maybe we didn't see it. We didn't get a chance to smoke it. So I was trepidatious that there would even be an IPCPR next year. Now I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Oh, there will be.
There has to be, right? Because there's going to be thousands of cigars, it feels like.
There is.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was shipped during the show that we never saw that got to certain, like Coop was saying. Yeah. I know several retailers that receive cigars, you know, just to get under the deadline. And it's sad that they have to do that, but it's beside the point. But yeah, there was some stuff sent out that we never saw.
Yeah, there's a lot that's going to happen over the next year. From a cigar smoker standpoint, it's bittersweet because there's going to be a lot of new things to try, which is great. But then it's a finite amount of time until there's no more new things, unless something changes, and hopefully
it's
things...
It's the 2 years down the road. It's 2018 and 19 that's got me worried.
Yeah, those are going to be the shows where you could fit them into, you know, maybe one hotel room as opposed to a convention hall.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Which is...
That's going to change. It's going to change then, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll take care of before then.
I mean, hopefully there's got to be a middle ground, and I said we wouldn't talk about the FDA stuff, and we can. I can't really shed any light on anything that we haven't shed light on already. I mean, we had Glenn Loop on, and he kind of broke things down, and the way that Jason Holly talked about a lot of things, he's got the mind for that. I don't. I see shapes and bright things in my mind. I don't see legal documents. So, I mean, if you guys want to chime in on some of that stuff, we can.
I figured it would monopolize everything we got left. But I'm just saying, you know, we had an interview with Frank Herrera from Cigar Law that does a lot of the lawsuits for the cigar guys. And he gave us an amazing breakdown of what's going on and what's going on in the future and what could possibly happen elsewhere of you. But I just say that after talking to him, it's not so doom and gloom as most people think it is, or even I thought it might be. So I have a little bit of – he gave me a glimmer of faith.
Of hope. You're a little bit optimistic. Yes. That's good. Yes. Yeah. I think we're going to try to get Frank Herrera on Cigar Chat here pretty soon, correct?
Absolutely we are. We had a brief opportunity to talk to him at one of the great parties at Skip through at his place, thanks, which was awesome. I think a few people had a chance to go to that event, and we had some time with Frank to sort of off the record talk, and it was very illuminating. And I have to say, you know, as a Canadian in probably one of the most oppressive markets in the world, I'm in a business where we've got 13 stores. We're about to have 20 stores, probably 30 stores by March. So if we can make it work with our tax levels, you know, I'm pretty sure the Americans can continue to make it work.
The Canadian with the optimism. I love it. I love it. So I've got another question here I kind of want to throw at the group, and I'm just going to go random here. This one's from Steve Christopher, and we'll wrap the show up pretty soon. If you guys need to drop off, totally understand. If you got to go, just say goodbye and drop off. I appreciate all you guys being here, by the way. I know you're all busy. Steve Christopher wants to know, what was the funniest moment of the show for you? And there's always some funny moments. There were some weird guys walking around in unicorn suits and things of that nature. Sensei, I see you chuckling. What was the funniest moment? You guys approach the show a little bit different than everybody else because you guys have a booth.
Yeah, we have a booth, just mainly to have a sort of a headquarters to hang out, you know.
Yeah. You got some 4G over there that we can use?
No. You know, in fact, we were lucky.
That's not the answer I was hoping for.
We were lucky just to even get power, you know, to our booth. So
it was
a challenge. We had to fight to get a table. So we had a booth, but no table for a while. That was a drag. But I think, you know, to me, like, a couple of funny things were some of the booth placements. Like, some of these poor guys, I won't name names. I don't want to embarrass them. But, like, there was one booth that was literally, like, right by the men's bathroom. I think it was, like, right when you walk out of the men's bathroom, you know, on the far left side when you walk in. And I just thought, oh, geez, that's, like, the worst possible booth that you could have. But,
I know the exact booth that you're talking about.
Yeah, right. And so I kind of felt bad for them. But one cool thing was, though, we found this place that made the most amazing Mexican corn in the world.
I saw the pictures that you posted.
Did you see that?
And, I did.
And June knows because we took June there. And that place, hey, June, tell them who made the food there.
It's made by real Mexicans.
Yeah, exactly.
No, really. There's a sign that says "Real Mexican food made by real Mexicans."
Yeah, that's a good pitch.
I'm not being racist at all.
No, I don't think that was a racist thing to say. I mean, it's when you're going for an authentic style cuisine from a particular ethnic background, you'd want those folks making that food, obviously.
I mean, and I checked all their IDs just to make sure that wasn't false advertising.
Copy that.
Yeah.
The one thing that we got to eat that I was really excited about, they had a Shake Shack there in Vegas. And being on the West Coast, we don't get Shake Shack. We have In-N-Out Burger, and it's so overrated. In-N-Out is overrated.
It is not overrated.
Oh, it's overrated. I don't care what anybody says.
Yes, it is.
God.
It's overrated.
It's overrated.
No, it's not, Ben.
Whataburger.
They didn't have any of them bourbon shakes.
Oh, well, that was strip burger. We ate a lot of hamburgers when we were there, apparently. We let the fat kids out when we were ordering food. But, no, I was really excited to find out there was Shake Shack. My wife and I went to New York back in May, and we had Shake Shack, and it kind of changed our lives. And so much to the point that we actually tried to make it at home. There's a recipe for Fake Shack online, and we made the sauce right, but the burger not so much. Oh, I was so happy to have that again.
So what was the best burger you had on the trip, Rob?
Oh, the Shake Shack was better than strip burger. Although the strip burger with the macaroni and cheese and the I must have gained like 5 pounds. And the jalapeno bacon was pretty good. Hmm. I mean, they made me wait like an hour and a half for it, which is why we were late to the dojo party.
Yeah, sorry about that. That sucked.
No, I mean, we walked right in. I said, we're going to go to the dojo party. We had a big group, and we said, well, let's get something to eat. And there was no wait at Strip Burger. I thought, great, Strip Burger, we'll check it out. Maybe somebody gets naked. We'll see what happens. And then, it, like, an hour later, it was like, can I eat, though?
Half an hour later, can I get the check?
Yeah, right? Yeah, it was rough. So
I blame Aaron because he was there, but he's not here on the chat. So
He's not here to defend himself.
He's listening intently, by the way. He's giving you pointers on what to talk about.
Oh, did he? He's texting you bullet points.
Yeah.
Anything good?
A lot of stuff good, but we didn't have enough time to talk
about it. We're still talking.
Oh, all right.
So the two people who have been quietest are Craig and Delicia. So I'm going to ask you guys, Delicia, give me what did you want to talk about the show that we haven't talked about? What do you want to talk about?
I mean, we kind of touched on everything. I mean, we weren't going to go into the FDA stuff, but I just thought it was interesting, again, to see so many people, you know, putting stuff out there. And then that also the unspoken stuff that they kind of hinted that was out, like Coop was mentioning, you know, things that were out there. But the show seemed different this year, like a different vibe overall.
Absolutely.
Not like a sad one, but just different. Like it just didn't seem like that normal... I don't know, it didn't flow as well. And I feel like I hit like a lot of booths just because we kind of touched on it earlier about the appointment thing. This was the first year I had taken appointments before, but this was the first year that was like a lot of different appointments. And you're right, I mean, it eats up your day. Before you know it, you're at one end and then just trying to walk to the opposite end, just over a lot of time. So there was a lot of booths that I unfortunately didn't get to visit. And so that was probably like my only... you know, regret from the show was just not having enough time. It just seemed like before you know it, it was over.
Do you find that, Delicia, this is specifically for you, do you find that it's tough for you to get from one place to another without people kind of hounding you?
In a nice way, yeah.
I mean it as a compliment, but I just...
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I noticed that, like, walking, again, from, like, point A to, you know, the other side of the show, it's just... There's people that come up, and I had one guy, I don't even remember the name of the company. It was like some sort of an accessory, or I don't really know exactly what it was, but
I know who it was.
He literally pulled me up. I was like leaving one booth. I was already late for one interview, and he pulled and was like, turn the camera on. And he like literally just like made me do a video. And I was like, I didn't have the heart to just say like, okay, this is not really like appropriate, but I mean, bless his heart. If you're in a cell that, you know, that strong. I mean, I gave him the time, but it was kind of, that was probably like the funniest moment of just like, wow.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, John, you know exactly who she's talking about too. Delicia,
you know, it was even harder for her, Robbie, just walking around in those high heel shoes.
Yes. That have forget about it. Yeah.
I mean, I have a statement that I have to make every year, which is like, I mean, you're going to go out, you're going to go Vegas, you got to go big, you got to wear the shoes. But I was laughing because a few of the guys, you know, finding a couch to sit on was like prime real estate at the show.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, every so often someone would jump in and, you know, mostly men, and they're complaining that their feet hurt. I just was like, you know, backhand waiting to happen. I was like, come on.
So you guys have you guys have no idea.
Your high heels were way better than Coop's high heels, that's for sure.
I mean, I tried to just, you know, match Coop. That's like the always the golden life, but he was silent, you know. Coop's always silent.
No, I even went with a vest and a tie, button down every time. Like, I was trying to keep up with Coop, but then he busts out the suit. Like, no matter what you do, Coop is going to go one step further.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you, when I talked to Delicia, we were at the Laguna Bar when everything was overflowing into the aisle. And the funny you said about the shoes, my feet were an inferno, right? And they were, and I could not say, and I knew not to say anything because I imagined me not nearly having the same issue.
Smart man. You are a smart man.
11 o'clock at night. I couldn't even stand at this point.
Smart man. Yeah, I went with the Converse. Like old school Chuck Taylors, and those were like the most comfortable shoes I could walk around in. It was very.
Rob, you had the tie going this year.
Oh, I didn't.
You
didn't mess
with profiling, yeah.
Yeah, double Windsor knot, by the way.
That's sweet.
I mean, I don't mess around. I think I tied it once right. The rest were okay, but I did the best I could with what I was working with.
Yeah, I started out in Allen Edmonds shoes and went straight into Pumas the next day and was Puma tennis shoes the rest of the time.
Jared, our other interview guy, who did a lot of pipe interviews and did some cigar interviews, he did the same thing. He had like running shoes on one day and he thought they were going to be comfortable, and then he went with these Puma like race driver shoes that have like a very flat bottom on. He was totally
the Ferrari shoes, yeah.
And he was pumped. They didn't look comfortable, but he was into it. Delicia, the reason I brought that up was every time we walk by, you know, wave or whatever, say hi because we're going in different directions. But it seemed like you always had somebody that was just waiting to kind of grab you as you come out of a booth and talk to them. So that was why I brought that up.
Well, it's a very nice nice crowd. You know, it always feels great. It makes my head big when I leave the show. But also this year I had the calendars that I was walking around. I don't know if you noticed the wagon that we were kind of trekking around with.
All the wagon.
I definitely want to upgrade to a golf cart next year. It just makes sense with the shoes and everything. But that was kind of probably the reason why people were stopping and chit-chatting a little bit was the calendar stuff. So
you've got to get a golf cart or like one of those, I don't know, those small little cars. I don't know what they're called. And then put your sign up on the top.
That'd be awesome.
We'll be jamming. So
we're going in like a group thing, you know. Let's just do like a big wagon for everybody, like a huge, almost like a little van. And just
I'm in.
There you go.
I'm in.
Save the feet, you know.
Now the calendars that you were there with, is that something that is it? Are those available on your website, or is it something like that, or was it just a show thing?
No, they will be available soon on the website. I have some retailers that are going to be carrying them, so I'm kind of letting them, you know, come out with that first, and then I'll probably list them on the website maybe October or so. They'll be available for purchase.
Good for you.
I'm going to scoop that. I'm going to do a calendar, too, next year.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
What are you going to take pictures of the corn?
I feel like there's a bunch of jokes here, but I don't know how to make them.
Yeah. I'm giving you guys prime material here.
No, it was a softball, and it was too easy, and I'm befuddled at this point. Where do we go? June, you've been working out. You got the calendar going too, the Iron Man calendar type thing.
I see it in the future.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a booth and sell growth hormones next year at the booth.
Oh jeez. The cream and the clear.
That's right.
It'll be
kimchi flavor for everybody.
Co-sponsored by Balco.
Extends there one year. Remember that? You guys remember when they were selling Extend? When they had the Extend sample, like this?
Yeah,
like,
that's right. They were passing out these stickers in front of the booth. Everybody.
Wait. Let's back up. Extends.
Yeah.
Extends.
That's exactly as it sounds.
Don't pretend like you haven't heard of it, Rob.
This is 2011 or 12, I believe it was.
No,
yeah.
Coop just reminded me I need to renew my my subscription to get more. That's when there's, well, you know, it's funny you say that, but there was a couple of years ago, and I feel like maybe it was the last year in Vegas before New Orleans, where there were a lot of empty booths where they filled them with a lot of random shit.
Yes, definitely.
A lot of those, but there was even those this year, those little, like, the massagers that looked like a little iPad that you plug the things on your back and all that.
Oh, they weren't like a champ, too, by the way.
Do they really?
They were very pushy sale with that.
Very expensive.
Wait, so what was that, by the way? Who experienced it, and what was it like?
I'm based on Ben, the chair that Ben is sitting in, I'm thinking that he experienced it.
Oh, no. No, but I mean, you know, my wife's a nurse, so she used to be a massage therapist way back before she became a nurse. So she actually had found these online somewhere too, but they're like little pads, and they come in like a 4-pack. What they do is they kind of send electrical charge from a little machine that you got, and it kind of like zaps you. And as it does, it makes your muscles tense like that, and it just pulses. And it feels like somebody kneading your muscles. And I'll tell you what, man. It works like a champ, because I had pulled my shoulder real bad lifting weights here when we first moved here, and I put that on there, let it run for like 30 minutes, went away. When a leave would work. So it works like a champ.
So you're telling me that these guys with the hard sell that I told just to get out of my face by the end of the day, like, just leave me alone, I'm not here for that, they were pawning off something that was really good.
Yeah, it would have helped you out.
Oh, man. Out. Put them on my feet.
Yeah.
Did you see the guy selling the moisturizer stuff though?
That I did not see.
There was a guy there in a booth that was wanting people to buy like moisturizer creams and stuff like that. He kept pawning off these little samples. Everybody, I never got one, but he kept trying to give these little sample packets of moisturizer to everybody. What the hell does that have to do with this?
You've got to stay hydrated, man. Your skin's got to,
especially in Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't feel like there was the phone is ringing. Oh my god. I didn't feel like there was a ton of random shit there. There was, you know, the massage things. There was one guy in the massage chair that looks a lot like the chair that you're in, Ben, but he was laid all the way back and he was just laying there with his eyes closed like he was in some other place that I wanted to be in. He was feeling it in one of those massage chairs.
Those look great. I wish I would have had time to experience that because they looked like phenomenal. Walking past them, I was like, oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, but I felt like if I would have sat down, that's it.
That would have been it, yeah.
That's the end of the day. And by the end of the last day would have been the right time to do it, yeah. You know, to check it out. But, I didn't get a chance to do that. Plus, other people sat in it. That's kind of gross to me.
Yeah, especially the last day.
Yeah, a little, there's it's a little personal to be sharing with somebody else. Okay, so let me just scroll through some of these questions and see if there's anything else that we need to get to. Drunkest person. Anybody got somebody for drunkest person besides John and I after we went to the rum bar?
Usually that's Brian Hewitt every year, but he was pretty tame this year.
He seemed pretty dialed in when we saw him. His beard is looking epic, man.
Oh, yeah. Straight out of the mining camp.
He's got it on some serious stuff.
It looks like a wild badger got stuck to his face.
Stogie Santa gets a nomination.
You know, I've never actually met Stogie Santa in person, but we did that one show with you guys. It was a while. This was a couple of years ago now. I imagine you get a couple of Glenn Livitz in him, and he's pretty fun.
Well, I was with him I was talking with him on Sunday night, right? And he says about midnight, we're at the Laguna Bar. I'm going to go upstairs. And I'm like, and he was already a little, you know, he'd already had a little too much to drink, right? So I said, all right, have a good night. So then I leave about like 1:30 and I'm walking and then the bar is on the right side of me. And I look at him and he's sitting at the bar and I tap him on the shoulder and he just goes like, ah, he's like incoherent about that. he never went upstairs apparently.
I love Stogie Santa.
When all you can manage is a grunt,
it was
you
like
know,
a growl. I didn't even.
Yeah, you know that you've done it right. let me see here. I'm going through. Oh, you know what? Here's a good question, and I'll just throw this. I'll throw this out to Craig because Craig's been quiet. So was there anyone at the show that you were expecting to see who wasn't there? Somebody that you missed?
Well, Victor Vitali wasn't there this year. Missed seeing Victor. He's been there for...
Absolutely.
That has to be the first one he's missed in 20 years. He's been a staple. Of course, Sam Lucia, I mentioned earlier, wasn't there. People you mentioned before, Clint from 262, I missed seeing him. But there were a couple notable absences.
Yeah, the guy who I missed seeing at the show, and he wasn't there last year and he wasn't there this year, is Eddie Ortega.
Yeah.
I always loved chatting with
Eddie. Yeah.
He was always a lot of fun, and not seeing him there is a bummer. Anybody else have anybody that they missed?
I got one from John. From the media. Where's Cigar Dave at?
Yeah, he wasn't there.
Yeah, he usually. Coop, I know you mentioned that the other day.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have I don't know, have any information on it, but here's what's odd about that. Now he say what you want about Cigar Dave. He had that ESPN Sports Center set up. His production, you guys can appreciate, top notch, right? And I can get maybe there's costs involved with that. Maybe it wasn't cost effective to do it. But the fact that he wasn't on the show floor is telling me there was something more up than I'm being led to believe.
Yeah, maybe a personal issue or something.
I don't know. Maybe it was a personal issue. That's a fair point. If there was a personal issue, I would think he would say, hey, look, we couldn't make it this year because of that and leave it at that. But
yeah.
I kind of listened to a show and there was nothing even promoting IPCPR, which kind of has me wondering.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know Cigar Dave. I've never met him. But, he was definitely wasn't – you're right. The ESPN Sports Center booth was definitely not there. Couple other comments here. This one's from Swede. He says, I just got here. Just wanted to say hi to everybody and say that you guys all did a great job at Vegas. Just Swede appreciates everything that you all did at Vegas. It's a lot of work, man. And we brought a couple of guys from Cigar Federation – who have been, you know, Cigar Federation members on and Shooter, who helped us out, and they got a pretty good idea of how much work it is. I mean, it's a lot of work to hit that floor. From, you know, you try to get to everybody and you try to talk to everybody, and if we had another 3 days, you probably could have got everybody. John, what do you think?
Yeah.
Maybe another day and a half.
By the end of day two, I had to literally drag people downstairs for food because I was worried that everyone was hangry at the same moment. And for once, I was not the hangry guy. I had my food game on point. I was still in an okay place, and I was worried I was going to have to start separating people.
Yeah, John, promoting John to Den Mother this year was a big, big deal for us. It worked out really well. I say Den Mother, but John appreciates that title because we needed it. Because really, you get us, all of us, and I say me, Logan, Jared. Jared's pretty well focused, but you get Logan and I, we're distracted by shiny things, and it's definitely downhill from there. Let me see, I have one last question here that I wanted to bring up. Where did it go? On wants to know, did you guys make any new friends this year? Any people that you hadn't really talked to? I feel like so a couple of the folks that I hadn't really spoken with in the past that we were able to spend some time with, Michael Herklotz from Nat Sherman. I never really met Michael before.
Thanks to Juan Cancel for the introduction.
Yeah, and get to chat with him. That guy really knows his shit. He knows his business.
Super nice guy, too. Really nice.
Yeah, really, really cool dude. He was probably one of the people I was happier to meet. I'm trying to think. For the most part, everybody else. Rocky Patel actually was the first time I'd spoken with Rocky and done an interview with him. It was a lot of fun. But what about you guys? Any new friends that you made this year?
Anyone? I finally had the opportunity to meet Ernesto Carrillo after 20 years.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to sit down and chat with him a little bit. Of course, I do things a little different with my video coverage. So I got to ask a stupid question to about 39 different guys. That was a lot of fun.
Nice. There's no stupid questions. There's just stupid answers. Just stupid answers. Anybody else? Delicia, did you make any new friends?
I don't know if there were necessarily new friends, but I spent more time talking with Karen Berger. Nicaragua. That was, I mean, I had met her once before and we spoke briefly, but I had a chance to really hear like her whole story, which was fascinating. Although I always see him in passing, but he's such a funny guy, and I actually had a chance to like kind of talk with him a little bit, and that was pretty neat. He actually lit a cigar for me, which was like one of those like awesome moments. And wow, I was like, wow. Yeah, it was like really cool, very memorable for me. So
do you have a picture of that?
Yeah, definitely got some video. Nice. And that's good. Picture of that. Yeah.
Awesome. But, very cool. Anybody else? Any new friends?
New guys.
Wait, who's?
One time. Sorry. Go ahead, Coop.
I'm gonna say Nick Perdomo. I really hadn't had a relationship with Nick Perdomo. He actually had reached out to me right before the show. It was very complimentary. I went into the booth, and his team and him were just fantastic in terms of spending time. So I was very appreciative of that.
Nice, and he was jamming on the drums. Were you playing the sax while he was on the drums?
I don't carry any. No, I mean, I could barely.
You're more of a clarinet guy.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. I can see Coop jamming with the band. Jim Young, for me, with Davidoff, was President Davidoff North America, was nice to chat with Jim and spend a little time with them. Davidoff, they're all class, man. They do it really well. And speaking of all class, and somebody that we didn't really get a chance to speak about during the show, not a new friend, but always nice to hang out with them, Claudio from Mombacho. Claudio's a great guy. You haven't met him?
Oh, you have to
meet them. Yeah, Claudio's awesome. They're making some great cigars. He invited us over to sample some Florida Caña 25, which was kind of a nice moment to sit down and relax. And the Florida Caña 25 is pretty damn good. If you like rum, that's probably a nice place to be.
And the Mombacho event was on point once again.
Yeah, absolutely. And the win is super whimsical, dude. When you walk in, it's like Alice in Wonderland, right? Yeah, Delisa, you were there.
Yeah, that was nice. They always do such a classy, job of everything. But yeah. Have you guys been out to their factory?
No, I haven't done that yet.
Got to get out there. Incredible. And talk about hospitality. I mean, top-notch everything. They're incredible people.
Yeah, Claudio, I'm going to be flying out there in November, and we've set aside 2-3 days to visit the factory, because Claudio told me if I go to Nicaragua one more time and I don't go to Granada to see him, he's gonna hunt me down and put a hurt on me. So
yeah, you're off the list.
Yeah.
Granada's a great city, too. I mean, you'll really enjoy Granada if you haven't been there.
Yeah, I haven't been. I'm looking forward to it.
It's very pretty. And it's
very great.
It's an old historical town. It's amazing.
Yeah, gotta get out there on the Las Isletas too. I'm gonna take you out there. That's like, beautiful.
Yeah, very cool. One thing that happened to me, and maybe we'll wrap up here pretty soon. After the Davidoff event and the Mombacho event, I don't think I ever want to pair cigars with anything other than Veuve Clicquot ever. Just give me some Veuve champagne, and that's it.
You know what? I didn't think it paired really well with the. John, pronounce it for me.
The Yamasa?
Yamasa. You know, I don't think it tastes real well with that. It got really woody for me.
It went unbelievably well with that 10th anniversary Liga Maestro, though, I got to tell you.
Baby.
That was, I could have stayed there all night and just gotten wrecked. It was fantastic.
It goes amazingly well with the Casa Fuente 10th anniversary. I know that.
I'm telling you, Veuve goes well with everything.
That's my favorite, man. I love that stuff.
It goes really well, with a world championships. When your team wins a world championship, crack open a bottle of Veuve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In 2012 and 10 and 12 and 14, it was
great. Come on. Get it all out. Get it all out. Go
16?
Ahead.
And it's nice when you're polishing your ring, too. You polish the ring and you have some Veuve. It's a good palate cleanser.
Okay, anyway. You're done.
Hey, I'm done. Coming from they've lost like, I don't know, like 10 of their last 9. I don't know, something crazy. They just can't win. They finally beat the Phillies today. Anyway, any parting words of wisdom from you guys? Somebody chime in with something. Pressure, go. Sensei, you chuckled. You got to say something.
I was just thinking about the Denver Broncos, you know, because they're world champs. I was thinking about polishing my ring.
Yeah, they are world. Yeah, but it's tough when you don't have a quarterback.
Hey,
man. What, they got the Sanchez.
We got a defense.
That's true. You know what? There's been a couple of teams, Ravens in the past, have proved that you can roll with Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer was their quarterback when they won. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Last weekend was the last weekend without football, right?
I know, right, baby? We're going. Here we are.
It's coming up, man. It's going to be a rough season out here in California, I'll tell you that. When the Los Angeles Rams are the biggest thing going on in California, you got a problem.
The Raiders are going to be good this year.
Raiders, man.
The Raiders, did you see the odds in Vegas has on the Raiders this year?
Was it good?
They have them, yeah.
They are trending in the right direction.
They'll
make the playoffs.
Jack
Del Rio is a good coach.
Rob's all about San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, if we get like two wins this year, I'll party. That's when I'll break out some champagne. Everything after two wins.
Be better.
I want to segue back to one thing we talked about before. You're talking about, you know, making the appointments and all that. Now, I go to the show as a retailer buying because I help buy for my shop in Biloxi, Mississippi, the cigar shop. But while I'm doing sticker reviews, I'm a hybrid there. It is much, much, much more fun and better doing it as a retailer than what we do.
I mean, I can imagine it's
so much more work doing what we do, you know, with the interviews and stuff. But we'll talk about the appointments. Like I said, we've been doing it for 10 years, and we try to make appointments because our biggest thing is do not interrupt business.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but you're right. It was such a pain because unless she was at General Altidus, where you had like Victoria, you know, at General, she had you down, boom, 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 every spot. Tarano, Hoyo, Partagas, you know, the Dunhill, which I'm smoking now. I mean, she had you down, Pat. You were in and out like that. You got everything you needed. But other places, like, you know, hey, we want to see you. Hold on a minute. Let me see if I can get somebody to talk to you. And you're waiting around 15, 20 minutes, which then pushes out back your other appointments, which by the end of the day, like our first day there at Monday, I thought it was a total waste because we got hardly nothing done because of all these appointments can't get them backed up. So it's almost like it's better not to make appointments than to make appointments. It's better to swing by and grab somebody when you can. Yeah. That's the only way to really do it.
Yeah, you know? I would agree with that for sure.
What I learned, though, is if I see it's going to be a few minutes and I just say, hey, I'll be back in like five, you know, and then I go somewhere else.
That's the way to do it.
They usually know them will have that 5 minute sense of time anyway. So, but yeah, I don't know how you guys with the video especially do it just because there's a lot to think of. I know, again, I really applaud anyone who's doing video because that's got to even make it more difficult. Me, I'm kind of with the reporter's notebook kind of approach, so it's a little different. But
yeah, it gives you more flexibility.
I don't know. To me, it's a little easier because I don't need to talk to the big personality per se. Although I do like for relationship purposes to do that. But if I need to get information, usually I can get it from someone else on the team.
That's a good point. For me, John carries all the equipment, so I just walk around with a microphone and pretend like I'm prepared. That's all I have to do. So.
That's what I'll let Brian do.
Yeah, there you go. If I've got to wait a few minutes, I'll wait a few minutes. It's fine. but no, it's no. You're right. It's appointments are a blessing and a curse. They can work out.
I agree.
And there's nothing worse than missing an appointment. I feel awful.
I missed three.
Yeah, we missed a couple too, and it happens. But anyway, let's. I've had you guys here a lot longer than I said that I would, so I appreciate you guys all hanging out. Thanks so much for taking your time. Donating your time to us to let everybody know, you know, what's going on. I'm going to go down the list and let everybody know where they can find you at. Ben, where can everybody get in contact with you?
You can find me on StogerReview.com, also at Cigar_Ben on Twitter and on Instagram, and also StogerReview on Twitter and Instagram, but also here every Tuesday night at 8, which we'll push back to 8:30 for Pipe Dummies with Jared.
There you go. Awesome. Appreciate it. Craig, how about you?
Well, you can find me at CigarCraig.com. You can find me at CigarCraig on Twitter, Instagram. There's a CigarCraig.com Facebook page. There's only one Craig Vanderslice on the planet, so you just Google me, and there I am.
Or you can just Google Cigar Blog, right?
Or you just Google Cigar Blog or Cigar Blogger, and
boom, there you are, right up at the top.
Number one,
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Delicia, where can everybody get in touch with you?
CigarVixen.com, on YouTube under CigarVixen, and pretty much all the social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, under CigarVixen.
Awesome. Thanks again for hanging out with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
June.
You can find me on developingpalates.com with my fellow co-owner for the website, Aaron Loomis. And you could also find me on One Embargo with Big Tuna, who just had a birthday yesterday. So now he's nice and old and 31. But yeah.
He's 31?
He's 31. I mean, you're way older than that, but, you know, he's still getting up there.
Yeah, I've got shoes older than that.
You know?
Yeah, seriously. Good shoes. Yeah, what brand is that? They last a long time. Sensei, what are you drinking?
I am drinking, I don't know, Jordan just keeps filling me up with something. It's I think it's a, I know it's IPA day, but I think this is a porter. I'm drinking a porter.
We were talking IPAs a little earlier today.
I know. I feel stupid that I didn't have any prepared for tonight.
That happens. No, you know, it's funny, man. We were talking about, what is that? Flat 12?
Flat 12.
See, I said that like I know. I don't know what flat 12 is, but
yeah.
It sounded like I was in the know.
It's okay.
No, it's local Colorado stuff.